Today's scripture, again, is from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verses 1 to 3a, and then 6 to 15. And it can be found in your pew Bibles on page 692. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of King Zedekiah of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and the prophet Jeremiah was confined in the court of the guard that was in the palace of the king of Judah, where King Zedekiah of Judah had confined him. Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of your uncle Shallum, is going to come to you and say, 'Buy my field that is at Anatoth, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours.' Then my cousin Hanamel came to me in the court of the guard, in accordance with the word of the Lord, and said to me, 'Buy my field that is at Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself.' Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field at Anatoth from my cousin Hanamel, and weighed out the money to him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed the deed, sealed it, got witnesses, and weighed the money on scales. Then I took the sealed deed of purchase, containing the terms and conditions, and the open copy, and I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, son of Neriah, son of Messiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, in the presence of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase, and in the presence of all the Judeans who were sitting in the court of the guard. In their presence, I charged Baruch, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar, in order that they may last for a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land.' The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
This is from Luke 14. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. They throw it away. Let anyone with ears to hear listen. The word of the Lord. Now you can sit down. When I was young, I began building model airplanes. Wood, paper, glue. I had a good time. And at some point, as I got older, I built a model ship. You know, Colorado, there's so much sailing that we do here. Yes, that's a joke. Come on, help me with this. But at any rate, you know, as I was learning about building this ship, you know, they would have instructions. Go ahead and set the mizzen mast in place in the deck. And I'd say, what the heck is a mizzen mast? So there's the foremast and the mainmast and the mizzen mast. Then it says you got to go and you got to hang out the top four gallant. I didn't even know there was a gallant next, you know, much less a top four gallant. So here are all these sails and jibs and gallants and spinnakers and dolphin strikers and all of these things on board this ship. And it was kind of interesting. Now, a Colorado boy, I didn't have a lot of experience, but my mother-in-law worked with a guy who had a sailboat. And somehow the conversation connected, and she connected with him. He says, he's going to be sailing on such and such, and you're welcome to go out and sail on Blue Mesa Reservoir. Anybody know where Blue Mesa is on the western slope? It sits down in this canyon, a very deep lake, beautiful, long, and it's just awesome. A little bit of a drive. We were in Grand Junction at the time, probably an hour, hour and a half drive, 2 hours maybe. So we drive up there, and we get there, and the boat is there, and the skipper's there, and his first mate is this guy that, I don't know if it was a friend or relative, but he may not have known as much about boats as I did by that point in time. And anyway, he was the first mate, and so we get in the boat, and it's pretty exciting, and we'd get out and we began to sail across the length of Blue Mesa. And it was blissful. Blue sky and the sunshine. And the water was just this deep blue. And I was sitting there in the sun and I let my hand drip down in the water. And that cool water that was snow just moments before. And it was just blissful. And we're sailing, not a sound. It was just wonderful. I thought, this is the life. And we got about halfway up the lake, and these are high canyon walls, and you're looking at the magnificence of the creation. This black cloud came across, and the wind began swooping down. And I mean, it happened just like that. And all of a sudden, the wind and the sail is up, and we began to pitch over to the side. And we realized this storm had just hit out of the blue with no warning. And I mean, we were really getting rocked over, and the skipper says, "We got to reef the mainsail." Well, I knew what that meant. I didn't know how to do it. But you take the sail and you shorten it and tie it together so it's not as big, so these big gusts of wind aren't going to blow you over and capsize you. So everybody worked together, and we kind of got this lower down, and the wind started blowing even more, and the waves were pitching, and lightning. And I'm sitting in the boat in perfectly grounded water. I'm an electrician here, and I'm thinking lightning, ground, aluminum mast sticking way up in the air, and aluminum stays coming down, and I was sitting right next to one, and I moved. I decided that is not probably the best place to sit in a lightning storm. And I'm thinking, where are the life jackets? God organized around what that was. And we were pitching. And the skipper looked at this stuff and he said, "We best sail straight through it." He says, "Or we're going to be in it." And the other sailboats that were out there, they turned and they headed back. They were headed back for the pier. And I looked at them and I thought, "Are you sure we don't want to go with them?" But he went right toward the storm. And by golly, it wasn't very long. It felt like a long time. But that squall went over us and went on, and it settled down. But those poor boats that were headed running before it, they were in it all the way back to the pier. They were all over the place, and they got plenty wet and much scared. And we were now out on the lake by ourselves. And it calmed down again. And I thought about that today as I was thinking through where we are and where the church is. You see, we're kind of in the middle of some kind of a storm. There's a schism that might be going on. We've heard about that. We've talked about that. We have some anxiety about that. We're in a storm because we've lost our organist. And this is creating tension and sleepless and difficulties. There are storms. And we forget that Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. You remember that. The disciples were crossing the lake and it was night and storm came upon us and they were terrified and they thought they would die. And Jesus is sleeping in the back and they woke him and they said, "Lord, don't you care? We're going to die here. We are perishing." And he said, "Ye of little faith." When he calmed the storm. We are in the middle of storm as well. And when we start talking about schisms and divisions and controversy within the church, we forget that this is not new. This church the Christian church has had splits in the 5th century, the 11th century, the 16th century, over slavery, over multiple issues. We have been through storms before. And we have weathered them, and we need to think about that. There was a speaker, Melba, several years ago, there was a speaker at conference that said, this is a periodic thing that happens, and we're at time for another major storm. Do you remember? It's been 4 or 5 years ago, I think. I thought, okay, you and your math and your predictions, took it with a grain of salt, and here we are in the middle of this. But you know, of all the storms going on, none of those are the important ones that we should be paying attention to. The storm before the church is that the churches, mainline Protestant churches, are shrinking. are closing. We have Montclarians here who lost their church. Their church closed. It reinvented itself into B3. It's a different way of being. It changed. We'll see if that changes the direction that churches need to go. But we need to acknowledge, and it isn't just this church, it isn't just the United Methodists, it is denominations. And it's been pointed out to me, it's also the Elks and the Moose and all of the other groups. They're shrinking. There's a change. There's a storm going on. And we could run before it and be in the middle of it. But I think going through it might be the important thing to do, to recognize that Jesus is in the boat with us and have enough faith. Enough faith to do what we're called to do, what Christ directs us to do, and to ride the boat out. That passage about salt. Kids had fun with it, didn't they? I really didn't remember which one was which. If they'd gotten the sugar first, what would I have done? They would have helped me through it. They're full of a lot of ideas and a lot of imagery, and I hope they think about what does it mean to be seasoning? You see, that's a better translation. If salt has lost its ability to season, what good is it? Throw it in, throw it out. It's not even worth throwing on the manure pile. Throw it out. What is our flavor? Who are we? What is our seasoning? Again, congratulations to Debbie Burns on a good job on that scripture. Lots of names and lots of different pronunciations, and she just plowed right through there and nailed them. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know how to pronounce them either, so she did perfect. But did you catch the important part of that story? You see, Jeremiah is in prison because he's been telling the people, God is punishing us. We're going to be captured and we're going to be conquered. Surrender. Don't fight. This is God's will. We need to go through this. And the king says, no, we're going to fight. You're not patriotic. You're a traitor. You're telling the people to give up. So he imprisons him. But they're about to be conquered by Babylon, and that occurs, 587. And it a generation, they're gone. The Babylonian exile, the diaspora. They capture the city. They take all the artisans and all of the learned people, and they haul them off to Babylon. And they take over the country. What was the people's? No, it belongs to Babylon. If you had a house and lot and vineyard, it belongs to the Babylonians now. And they're on the cusp of this happening, and it did happen. And here's the story of Jeremiah. One of his relatives comes along. This was tradition. If you had land in the family, you handed it down to family. You kept it in the family. You had the first right of purchase. It's kind of the tradition, the law, what have you. And so someone says, there's some land here. And Jeremiah says, yes, I will buy this land. Doesn't he believe in God? Doesn't he believe God saying that this land will be conquered? And once it's conquered, what? You don't own it. Now the Babylonians own it. But Jeremiah said, I'm buying it. And he had the deed recorded. And he had copy of the deed. And he put it in a jar that would last a long time. And he set that deed aside. Because he said, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. Don't give up on me. I haven't given up on you. There may be a period that you're in a storm here, but I will be with you after the storm as well. God will not be frustrated in human history. Mike Summerall and I were discussing this morning. We're trying to get different things done in different places. And it seemed like, well, we're going to accomplish this. We're working on a graphic. And we've been talking about this graphic. And a week goes by and we've made a little progress. And another week goes by and we've made a little progress. It's called the speed of church. Have you ever noticed that? You want to do something? Well, you have to wait to go to a committee. And sometimes that committee has to report to another committee. Well, that's 2 months. Speed of church can be frustrating. And we were trying to get around that, and Mike said something about the speed of God is sort of that way too. Sometimes we're ready to do it. All right, we're going to change it. Tomorrow it'll all be... And God's pace says, we will do it. And we will do it as it's right. And we will do it in God's time. So I have good news. We're in this boat. It's called the Ship of Christ. And it is truly unsinkable. This is not the Titanic claiming, hoping, wishing, professing to be unsinkable that gets sunk on its maiden voyage. This is the Ship of Christ, and it will not sink, cannot, because it is Christ. And on board that ship, we might get troubled, we might be worried, we might be in storms, but Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. So let's trim the sails, let's figure out what we have to do. Let's redefine how we are and who we are. Let's see what needs to change about what we're in the middle of. And let's get back to the important things that we need to get back to. You see, people are searching spiritually. There was a survey out that said 70-some-odd percentage of the United States population is deeply spiritual and believes deeply in God. But less than 30% go to churches. So we're not providing that spirituality that they're seeking for, and they're finding it in some weird places. And maybe that's okay if they connect with the Almighty. But where have we gotten a little bit sideways? We need to refocus who we are and what we're about, and come back to that one commandment, to love one another as Christ has loved us. Unconditionally. Absolutely without question. And really be that people. We've claimed that. Open hearts, open minds, open doors. And then we haven't been. And people have seen that hypocrisy. We don't claim we're perfect. We said, yes, we're hypocrites. But by golly, we got to do a better job of being about who we're about. But this storm... Right now the lightning's coming down and I'm worried about that aluminum mast, and electrocution sounds rather nasty, but we will get through this storm as well. God willing, in God's time. So, welcome aboard, shipmates. Hail and me hearty, me hearties. Amen.